from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that, I can't say you're always on my mind, but sometimes when I need my mind, like, there's always 10 things on my mind, then when I need it, there's nothing on my mind, which is always on my mind. Thanks, Willie. Who's it? Like, anyway, believe it or not, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, and right now I'm looking for listeners who supported sponsors. It's kind of critical to keep the show free, coming out twice a week, is those listeners who not only supported the sponsors, but let them know about it, let other people know about it on social media, sending the sponsor an email, sending them, give them a call. So if you supported Helix, if you got all four sofa, an Apollo band, a Relief band, please, please, please let them know about it and let me know about it so I can say thank you and try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone and send you some stickers and stuff. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. This is how we're here for you and so many other people because of your actions. So let me say thank you when you support a sponsor. Fill out that form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources in the show notes, including international resources you can connect with right now. It's about supporting the members of our community with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AAPI Hate, being a part of positive change. There's links to resources where you can learn more, you can take action right in our show notes. And I'm looking to hear about organizations that have impacted you, whether you're involved with them, whether you supported them, or they supported you. So please let me know about it. You can use the contact form on our website, and that's it. What do you say we, Mystery Bard, ask Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? All right, everybody, this is Scoots here. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. However you celebrate it, even if it doesn't feel celebratory, maybe you took a little break. Maybe you're snuggled up. I'm here. You're here. We're here together. And this is a repeat episode from a few years ago. It's another one of these episodes I've gotten a lot of feedback about. It happened over a long weekend, not a holiday weekend, though. It was a long weekend in, I don't know if it was in May or September, where I took a little horseback ride on a horse named Summer. And so this will give you plenty of insight into what I'm like as a human being, too, if you're new to the show. And on top of it, it'll keep you company and help you fall asleep. So enjoy the holiday season. I'm here with an episode, and I'll be here with some new shows starting right in 2022. So thank you so much for listening. And here's Scoots. You up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thinking, feeling, sensations, body, mind, emotions, whatever's keeping you up. I'd like to take your mind off. I'd like to take you by the hand or keep you company in the deep, dark night. And that's what I'm going to send my voice across. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Yeah, you know, what they were left out in the, you know, they have a patina, rusty patina. My vocal, that was like a study, a recent study I conducted. They said your vocal cords have a rusty patina to them. And I said, excellent. And then they sighed. Like a lot of people, I think when I'm, if you have a clipboard, there's a lot of times you, a clipboard's a good thing. Here's the thing. People planning on studying me for any purposes, scientific or, you know, whatever, bring a clipboard. I think I usually recommend this for many different things. I think I learned all this from Fletch, the movie Fletch. Though I keep meaning to read the book. I think that's John McDonald is whose character that is. Though I may be wrong, so I apologize. But what was I saying? Oh, if you're with me, like, if you're not a trickster hero, believe me, I'm not. But you would want one. It just helps you regulate regulate when you're with me your own internal things, so that it doesn't, you know, destroy, you know, the scientist, whatever, patient or whatever you're calling me. What's the thing when you're being watched as an experiment? That thing, you know, that's an important, believe me, I violated it so many times. I was the first person to use it. I was the first person to parlay a podcast into experiments with particle colliders. And because I had done so many, like I was a hobbyist. I was a particle collider interrupter hobbyist or particle accelerator, you know. And I used to mess around with that stuff till, 40% of my brain was launched past like Pluto or something. They said, no, that was a dream. But sometimes I get those things mixed up. But now that I'm accepted in the particle accelerator collider industry, and I don't know, this is just like, you know, everybody has their flaws. Now they'll do everything. They'll charge it all up. And then I always pull my head out of the way at the last minute. And they don't like that, especially because they say we're counting on dark matter within your brain to slow the particles down. You know, but that is, like, some people use their podcast to parlay it into speaking engagements. I used it to, burn all my bridges in the collider industry. Luckily, you know, dark matter's dark matter, so there's always going to be an underground particle collider scene. You know, time-space fabric being ripped. Us amateur particle collider accelerator people will show you. I don't know. How did I get on a tangent to going? This is like I've done the opposite of colliding particles. I've like gummed it up. So anyway, this if you're new here, that's kind of a demonstration. Like I'll take a tangent that's barely interesting or a topic that you may be familiar with, and then I'll be confused, and then I'll confuse you. This is all on purpose, believe me. Like, I know all that stuff that I just said, I knew what I was doing the whole time. Of course I know the difference between a particle collider and a particle accelerator, and that they're not interchangeable, or that they are, you know, that was all to put you to sleep. That's what this podcast is. If you're new, structurally, a little late to tell you this. So the whole idea of the podcast is take your mind off stuff, but you don't really need to listen. I'm going to keep you company in the deep, dark night. I think I said that part. But you also shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. I don't really put you to sleep so much as keep you company, you know, walk at your side chattering. Kind of engage you while you drift off into sleep. I'm merely, you know, the dancing bear, whatever you want to call it, that's here for you. Structurally for the show, if you're new, like we start off with the business side of the show. Got to do that because it's a sleep podcast. Then we have a long intro, which is the timestamps are in the show notes if you want to skip ahead to the story. But the intro kind of sets the mood. It's familiar. So some people, eases them down. Or they brush their teeth, bomb their feet. Some people bomb their, I've thought about, but actually I have bombed my elbows. So, you know, you could do that. But so that's the intro. Then there's the podcast episode. Then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. And I guess that's it. I mean, as far as the structure goes, it's a structure like an or maybe it's an order. I don't know if that's the structure of the order of the show. What if I wrote a book, Robert's Rules of Order for Particle Colliders and Accelerators? Your right brain, Robert's Rules of Order for the Particle Accelerator and something, something industry. You're right, because somebody's got to buy it. I tried making a living off these hobbyists, but they, like, all they say is that I'm, like, just wasted this. Like, they you know, they say, quit wasting our time. And I said, well, I said, I'm trying to, like, really, I don't want to pump myself up, but, you know, I'm really here to protect the time-space, the fabric of the time-space continuum by wasting the time of all, except, you know, like, I'm going to end all particle collisions would end under my watch, which would probably not be good because there's probably a lot of necessary particle collisions. You know, I really don't know what I'm talking about. That's the truth. I like to think of, I just like the idea. I don't know. Like, there's words that just fit this podcast. Particle collider. Even collider. Oh, you know, there's another word that looks like collider, which means, I think, a solid, like when asphalt is in liquid form. I think it's called something, colloidal. I think that's it. Yeah, like oatmeal is another thing. Like when you put oatmeal in what do you call that stuff? Like a bomb, it will be looser than a bomb. In a lotion, I think that's colloidal too. Maybe mispronouncing it. And I don't know how that got on the subject. I just, like, in my head, I'm picturing trucks with that on there. I like looking at that on trucks when it says, something, something colloidal on this truck. Sleep with me. The podcast made by a man who stares at trucks and, like, looks for words to distract him. And hence, like, who would have thought these things would come in barely useful? Like, driving around slack-jawed, looking. This is probably back when I was in the way back of the station wagon. Just looking for any sort of distraction. Because that freaking, first of all, who came up with that freaking, what is that, license plate game? Only a parent, and I mean, now I'm a parent, so I'm guilty, would come up with a game like that. Because really, unless you, I mean, it can be kind of fun. Like, but mostly you really need to be in like a high, like somewhere that has a high number of tourist traffic. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be criticizing that game because I played it enough. But I mean, I guess it would be more boring to play like a game in a car where it's like, look for words that Scooter might go on tangents about. Who would have thought? I mean, I think if you listen to this podcast, you'd say colloidal. And you, whatever the proper pronunciation is, like you might say, well, I wonder how he would pronounce that. Here, that's a game. Sleep with me. The driving game. That puts the passengers to sleep. So drivers, you can't play this, but, you know, keep your eyes out on stuff and, look for words that I may mispronounce. I think French language words are probably the most likely, cause it just seems like they wreak havoc with me. Anyway, if you're new here, welcome. This is a podcast that puts you to sleep, believe it or not. It's to take your mind off stuff, to keep you company. I'm your boyfriend. I'm your boar bay. I'm your boar bud. I'm your boar cuz. Whatever, your boar sib. Just like we're your bunk bed boar buddy. Your boar bestie. Yeah, just, I mean, this really the spirit of the podcast. It's like if we were in a set of bunk beds. And I think whether, you know, if you're comfortable on the top bunk, it's good to have my voice, you know, whatever. Just like the gummy matter in my brain, you know, like the bed, you know, kind of makes it comes through. I don't know any of those words. My vocabulary gets shortened when I need it. But so, like, you know, just like we're sharing a bunk bed and you say, I can't sleep. I said, don't worry about it. I got you covered. I'll be here for about an hour. I'll be talking. It'll be kind of like a story coming up. I don't even know. Like, it's Sunday. It's actually the night before Labor Day when I'm recording this. And I said, well, let me try to record an episode right now. I just folded laundry. And so that's it. I mean, this is a podcast to take your mind off stuff, to keep you company, and to put you to sleep. And I'm glad you're here. I appreciate your time. I really yearn to help you fall asleep. All right. Thanks for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. So tonight we're going to be talking. It's interesting. Sometimes real life and intersects in a fun, you know, way that makes it for a perfect podcast episode. Well, ideally, but like boring and meandering, believe me. So I'm going to talk about horseback riding, which I never like. And honestly, when I've sketched out all the ideas for the show, now I'll probably say, well, you did actually three episodes about horse riding, Scoots. I say, okay, I forgot those, but I didn't think I'd ever be talking about horseback riding. I'm not a horse. I don't know if you call yourself a horser. But if you're a horse lover, because after this, you'll know that, like, I'm an animal lover and a horse lover, but in a different way than actual horse, like people that own horses would be. I'm more of a horse appreciator, you'll find out. So check that out. I just want to get that out there because I know probably a decent proportion of my audience are lovers of horses and like maybe horse ride. Like I mean, I've seen some people riding horses in their profile pics on Twitter. So I say, well, it's clearly. So let's get into the horseback riding. Let me just set this up for you. Check out Horse Radio Network. That was one thing. I do the structure of these on my fingertips. That's my pinky. And then I'll just talk about my relationship with horseback riding. I don't know how long that'll take. Not very long. And then we'll talk about three days ago, went on a horseback ride on Labor Day. When this episode comes out, probably be way after that, but just to kind of set the mood to you. And I also linked to the stables where I went horseback riding because I highly suggest it. And they were wonderful people at the stables. You know, they didn't know I was a sleep podcaster, but they did deal with the full Scoots and they did pretty good job with dealing with the full Scoots. So here's the horseback. My mom actually grew up on a farm. And I did not. And as to my knowledge, I've only been on two horseback rides. That was my second horseback ride this week. Is that what it's called? Horseback ride? I think I prefer to call it a horsey ride, but I think that's when you get on your parents' back And then there's pony rides where the ponies kind of just go in a circle. I did have, before the horseback ride, I did talk to a pony that was set up for pony rides. And I prefer a mule or burro or a pony. And I didn't really like want to go on the horseback ride. One, because, you know, to do that, you have to leave your house. And, you know, I got podcast stuff to do. And two, you'll kind of see, and maybe a lot of people can relate to this. Ideally, you'll be drifting off into dreamland. But, like, a little stealth anxiety, like, comes up for me. And so, like, and I guess I talked about that in a different way, like with my relationship with canoes. My relationship with horseback riding and canoes isn't that different. I guess they're both the things that you ride. Though a canoe, except the new ones I deal with, aren't alive. Horses are living beings. So let me take you back. I'm trying to think if I did any horse, like rode any horses as a kid. But when you have six kids, horseback riding is probably not an option. I may have rode a pony. Was that Billy Idol saying about that? Rock the pony? Something like that. Or maybe I just get the lyrics mixed up. Or maybe it was a double entendre. I guess probably was. But I guess maybe I went on a pony ride once or twice. But I did pin the tail on the donkey. One time I did that, I cheated. I'll tell you all right now. No, maybe I didn't cheat. I think one time I won it at a birthday party when I was under 6 years old, and I didn't cheat, but I was accused of cheating, but it was pretty far down, and I was pretty proud of myself, and that was like, holy cow, we're already off topic here. So horseback riding to me, like, it's just not something like I would even ever think to do. And usually, like, it involves, like, I don't know, even before the podcast, I don't like to go do stuff, unless I'm planning it. I don't like to do things that I'm not in control of. And so, my ex, who was my girlfriend at the time, the last time was probably 12 to 15 years ago, probably 15 years ago that we went horseback riding. And that horseback riding experience and this one were very, they weren't mirror images of each other because they were like near duplicates. So they weren't, I guess they mirrored each other. And I guess I'm outing myself. So I will probably be on a horseback ride if I go see Glenn, and maybe I'll be on a pony ride. I prefer to just, give Scooter the pony a bath or talk to Scooter than ride a horse. Though I didn't have a negative experience, so I want to set that up for you. So this is just like giving you the Scoots background, so you can kind of say, well, I guess I can kind of relate to that. So going a horseback riding is usually something like you do in a dating situation, and so obviously my options were limited in general. And then I have my ornery attitude and my curmudgeonly attitude and my avoidant attitude. But so, whatever, 15 years ago I went, and probably begrudgingly, which, probably should have had more. And it was like, the good thing about anything I do is that even back then, before I had a podcast, still made for stories to make people laugh, because that's I don't know how those things are connected, being a curmudgeon, but desiring to tell silly stories to make people laugh. Yeah, but I remember we went to this stable in the East Bay Hills, and it was kind of a day of thing because she knew she had to talk me into it and that I wouldn't want to go. And I'm sure it was important to her. And I said, okay, I probably didn't even say, okay. I said, I have to do this basically, right? Okay, so let's go. And so the things I remember about that, I don't remember my horse's name. I remember my horse was ornery, and I think it'd be better when I talk about mostly getting on the horse with this situation, because it's so fresh. But I just remember my horse wasn't a good, was nice, and the young woman who was helping me at the horse, this was 15 years ago. It was the horse was very special to her, And she said, whatever you do, like this horse is like, she said, you can squeeze the horse with your legs, you know, if you want the horse to move, but don't do any more than that. And I said, I have no interest in like, no, I don't even want to squeeze the horse. Whatever the horse wants to do, I'm fine with it. As long as it involves just standing around or walking like a few feet, that's fine with me. Anything more? Like, does this horse just want to graze? Because I'm into that. I'm into horseback grazing. And my horse did want to do a lot of that. And I think, I don't know how many people were on this horseback ride. And it was fairly uneventful, other than that my horse stopped a lot to eat grass. And then they would say, well, you got to pull the reins. And I said, no, I don't want to put the horse in a bad mood. I'm not pulling any reins. And they say, you got to guide the horse. And I was okay. Like, so that was the last time I went horseback riding. And it was still pleasant. The East Bay Hills are beautiful. There's a lot of wonderful scents and flowers and buzzing insects and great views. So that was then. Now at this point in my life, I have a daughter. And of course, like, I don't want to be like, my daughter loves horses and she's never been on a horseback ride. She loves animals. And she's saddled with a father that like loves animals and stuff, but doesn't like leaving the house. And it's very curmudgeonly. So I think she's harbored this dream of going to horseback riding. Luckily, she has a mother who's pretty well-adjusted, much more well-adjusted than I am. So with the long weekend, like, they had decided to go horseback riding, and they invited me to go along. And one of her cousins, like, one of her mom's cousins was there who owned horses as a kid, like a cousin Sarah. And so... they said, well, geez, we're going to go horseback riding. Do you want to come? And I said, well, let me think about it. My daughter said, please, Dad, please, you know. And I said, And then I kind of agreed to it. But then I was like, really, like, I don't think it's Labor Day. Like, they're not going to have any horses. And they weren't answering their phone. So I feel bad about this, but I had my fingers crossed that they wouldn't have any horses. And maybe I crossed my too many fingers because that didn't go like, and they said, well, they're not answering your phone. Are you sure you want to drive all the way out there? And it was out like near Ocean Beach in San Francisco. And so if you go to San Francisco and you decide you want a beautiful views of the bluffs and the beach and the ocean, a little bit away from the city, but really close to the city. Like just minutes from Golden Gate Park, if you have a car, but you could probably Uber there. Or Lyft there, just past the zoo, there's the stables. I don't know what it's called, but I'll link to it in the show notes. It's probably the only stables there. And, you know, I did want to back, but I did think about backing out. And I said, well, maybe I won't go. And then my daughter said, come on, Dad, please. You know, I said, okay, like for you, anything, except that I'll still be grouchy about it. And so we got there, and of course they had tons of, I said, because everybody's at Burning Man. The whole Bay Area empties out for Burning Man. So, of course, they had horses. And so we get there, and we check in, and they were very friendly. And they said, okay, like, you know, you could, like, put on some headgear. And I was making small talk with the pony, and there was a nice dog there. You really can't have, like, a stables without a dog and a cat. And, a kind but seemingly mangy dog. And then a cat. And the cat was staring at something a lot of the time. But those are key elements for a good stables. And this is, like, it's just so funny when you get to go to places and it's, like, right. This isn't a particularly urban area because it's the beach. But, I don't know, just someplace that could be anywhere. And then it's, I don't know, like a touch of timelessness, I guess. So we get there and then we check in and they say, okay. And then they say, have you ridden a horse before? I said, once, like 10 years ago. And then Sarah said, well, like it's been a while, but I had horses as a kid. And then like we were just checking in. They say, well, how much do you weigh? Because so they can match you with the right horse. And, like, it started, like, it's weird. I have, like, this relationship with, my mind and my body and those things have a strange relationship. I have a strange relationship with my mind and my body and my feelings. It's not a normal one, like most of my relationships. And I don't know if, like, I use my curmudgeonly attitude to mask Because it doesn't like I have anything that I was particularly nervous about. Other, I guess, in being embarrassed or doing it wrong. And then the horses are pretty big. But I didn't, I didn't think I was nervous at all. Other than the initial, the handoff part. So then they start matching everybody up with their horse. And they bring my horse over. And the young woman says, brings the horse over. And I didn't know what the protocol, am I supposed to not walk near the hooves? Because I don't want to be hooved or anything. And I love animals. So I said, I like the look of this horse. Because the horse before it, I did not, I said, was that one of the horses that the White Walker was riding? And that horse, neighed at me. And I said, good, because I don't want, I don't need to be riding any White Walker horse anyway. So this horse is better for me. And this horse was a beautiful, beautiful color. A color really only horses can achieve. Maybe Tormund, from a GOT, kind of a reddish, a rust, but with some brilliant maroons in there. And I said, hey, what's up? How you doing? But then the woman who was matching me with the horse, she said something to me. I couldn't understand it. But of course, I have this instinct when I can't hear something. I said, oh, yeah. So I said, the horse's name is Frederick or something. And she, and then I said, okay, Frederick. So I said, and she said, no, the horse's name is Summer. And I don't know what she said to me first. And then she said, okay, do you know how to get on? I said, no. Okay, you didn't hear that, but I had to take a break because Koa, my dog, she was barking. And I just want to address this. I think she was a little bit hurt. When I got home, she knew something was up, that I had been with another, that had been friend, really intimate and friend. I mean, not that kind of intimate. I mean, whatever, agape or whatever the heck, the one, pathos or whatever that you have, that I had had that with another creature. And also, Koa's kind of a reddish hair. I think they technically call her hair color brindle. I don't know what the heck that means, but, she has a red, reddish coat a little bit too. Though Summer was way more like a nicer kind of red. No offense, Koa. So I think she might have been demanding my attention just now because she said, you're not going to talk about that friggin' horse again. And she goes, what the heck, dude? Also, it's nice that the horse was named Summer because one of our moderators is named Summer. So hi, Summer, hopefully you're asleep. And then Summer G, made a short movie about the podcast, a documentary. It's going to be at a documentary fest in New York City. And, she put a lot of hard work and belief, about the listener's belief in the show. And so that's cool. Whatever coalescence or whatever. And so, okay, so the young woman was, introduced me to the horse. I don't know what she said originally. And I said, okay, Hendrick or whatever. She said, no, the horse's name is Summer. And she already, we didn't really get along because she was an authority figure to me, even though she was a lot younger than me. And, then she had to give me instructions. And none of these are going to go well with me. So I say, hey, Summer, how you doing? And she said, do you know how to get on the horse? I said, no. And then she said, put your left foot in, do the stirrup, and then swing your leg over. And it didn't go well after that. It didn't go bad. So I got my left foot in, then I swung my thing over. And then I kind of that's when the authority figure and instructions points kind of mix with my anxiety. So, and the fact that I was on the back of a horse, but mostly I think it's a performance embarrassment thing. She was she told me to do something. I don't even know what she said. Don't pinch your feet or something, or don't put your feet in the stirrups, but I couldn't hear her again. And I said, so put my feet in the stirrups. I can't get them in there. And she said, no, I'll adjust the stirrups. Take your feet. And I said, well, how am I going to stay on the horse without my feet in the stirrups? And then I grabbed the pommel, which I guess at least with her was a no. I said, I've seen enough cowboy movies. And she said, don't grab the pommel. And then then I said, oh boy, this is I felt bad for her because she was dealing with me. And I guess I should wear a shirt, treat me with kid gloves or something. like everybody gets agitated about special snowflakes or whatever. I say I need to be treated as a special snowflake. Otherwise, I'll melt and wilt, you know, get embarrassed. And like maybe I can't cry, but I'll like, so then I'll internalize that. So if we could get that on a shirt, that would be great. So then she says something about the stirrup, and then she says, don't grab the pommel. And then I guess I was a little nervous. I said, I'm just supposed to sit on this saddle that people have been sitting on for thousands of years and stay upright. Now, meanwhile, Summer was just sitting there, and then eventually she adjusted the stirrups, and then within one wasn't right. I said, well, that one's two, they're different lengths. And she's seen, and then she adjusts the stirrups, and she's just, you're going to have to relax. And I said, like, she literally said it like that. And I said, this is as relaxed. And she was like, you got to relax your legs. And I was like, I was just, I was like, holy cow, please don't tell me to relax. And then it's impossible. I said, and now I can never, you've just made relaxing 100% impossible for me. And I said, I didn't even like, and then I said to internally, I said, holy cow, I thought my legs were relaxed. Like this is all going at like, these are neurons that can usually, they usually misfire, but now they're firing, you know, like a billion microsecond. Like, my legs aren't relaxed, but you know, I can't even feel my legs. Like, just like when you can't sleep, it's like, how am I going to relax my legs? What does she mean, relax my legs? And then again, she said, okay, you just got to sit there. I guess I really wanted something to hold on to, and you do get the reins. And then she said, just hold on to the reins in the middle. And I had watched everybody else get on the horse, so I knew you just like move the reins forward for the horse to go forward, move them back to go back. And again, I don't want to be involved in anything that's going to bother the animal. I love animals, and also I'm on the back of this animal. So either way, whether it's like a, because I love them or because I'm in preservation mode. Like, so that seemed very neutral. Like, it wasn't like you were even moving the pressure. It was just the whole motion of moving the reins. And I said, I'd prefer to flick them, you know, like they do in the movies with my wrists. And then she just so stared at me like a man who can't relax. And then she said, to go right, you just, like, I said, just, like, just a little bit to the right and left. And then she said, no. And then she was trying to show me how to use the reins. And again, I, like, got so stressed, I think I blacked out. But she was saying something about some sort of sliding motion. And at that point, I was like, okay, we're never good. I said, this horse is just going to follow the other horses, right? Like, it knows what it's doing. And she said, yeah, I had worn out my welcome, I guess. He said, I don't understand how to slide my hand on a rein. She said, don't bunch the reins in your hands. And I said, what do you mean? Like, it's just like the pack, like, this is some of my life's like in real life. And she was like, no, do a sliding motion. I said, I don't know how to do, but I don't understand. And I said, the horse is going to follow everybody, right? This horse has done this trail 1,000. And she said, yeah, you're going to be fine. And I said, I said, this is the hardest part, right? And then she said, okay, Summer, go ahead. And then Summer didn't do any. Of course, Summer's working. Like, it was like we were a comedy team. And she said, go ahead, Summer. And Summer just sat there. And then she said, you're going to have to, poke it with your feet. I said, poke it with my feet. No. And I moved the reins forward, and Summer didn't move. And she said, go ahead, give her a little tap with your foot. And I said, squeeze my legs. That was the last time I was on a horse. I just squeezed my legs, and the horse was supposed to go. It never did, but that's what they told me. And she said, no, just give her a little tap. And I said, no, come on, Summer, please get moving. And then Summer immediately started moving to the left. And the people, the person that was guiding the trip and everybody else was to the right. And then she said, you got to pull to the right. I said, okay. And I kind of barely moved the reins to the right. And she said, no, you got to pull it to the right. And this wasn't in any extreme way. It was just enough that Summer, that you would actually have some resistance. And then, like, Summer did that. And then once Summer saw the other horses' flanks, like, I said, okay, Summer, just do me a favor. Just follow these horses. And I think the tween in me at this point, like, you know, that was totally embarrassing. And so my tween, like, I don't know why I have, like you got saddled with a lizard brain and a mammalian brain and then a tween brain. So I think a lot of it was just that I was embarrassed, like I'm embarrassed that when I'm not good, it's, you know, that there's like this bell curve or whatever, and they had to be instructed, and then I could, like, then I was like to, so then we set off out of the corral or whatever, and then of course Summer stops, like as soon as we get to the edge of the corral, Summer stops and eats, starts eating a bush. And the guy, like, Summer must have been a troublemaker, because he said, come on, Summer. Like, he had his little tone. Like no, I don't think, no, Cricket was in front of me. Sophia, my daughter, was riding Cricket. And me, Summer and I were second or third, depending on how you count it. Then the White Walker horse was behind me. I don't know the other horses' names, I don't think. Like, Fastidious, I don't know, like, I wasn't paying attention, but Summer, of course, just stops right as we get to the exit and starts eating. And I said, this is what my horse did last time. Like, and then the woman or somebody else was like, you got to pull it to the side. You know, you got to guide the horse. I said, I can't even do dance. Is this how ballroom dancing works too? And then like I got out of there, and then we started moving on a trail. And then Summer was in her element for the most part. And I honestly was still hoping. I said, okay, hopefully, I said, what is this, like a 5-minute trip? He said, this will be over soon. And then I tried to please, like, then I went into pleasing mode. I said, listen, Summer, what do you like? You want me to talk to you? You want me to pet you? And then also, I was still figuring out the whole idea of riding a horse. I said, this is strange. Like, I got nothing to hold on to. We can't touch the pommel. Like, I know that's out because I already got pommel. I was the first person to be pommel shamed to that day, maybe. And I don't think I was just pommel instructed, but of course I felt pommel shame, which I guess is different than being pommel shamed. And I think that's an important distinction, because it was just shaming for pommel shaming, when really I just had pommel shame. So then I was like, I'm not touching that pommel. I did find a way, and this might seem ridiculous, but to get my hands under the saddle and hold on that way and still hold on to the reins. And it was in contact with Summer's body, which I kind of felt good about. Like I said, okay, it took me a while, because they said, okay, keep your feet in the saddle, heels down, toes up. My body awareness isn't good, so that didn't really make sense to me. And then something about having your butt down. I said, where the hell, where's my butt going to be? Like, better be down on this saddle. Are you freaking kidding me? But I think I found, like, if I had my heels down, like, then I was down in the stirrups and my legs were out. And then I kind of said, well, maybe I do look a little bit like a cowboy now. But then Summer started, and that you just start on a little loop, and it was very mellow. And we honestly, it was like 5 minutes. I said, okay, thank goodness. This is over already. Like, great. This was great. Sophia got to ride a horse. And instead, then the person that set us up said, okay, is everybody okay? Everybody said, fine. Okay. Now you're going to go downhill. And she said, I don't know what they said, downhill or uphill, like lean back or lean forward, but just keep your feet down and your heels up, heels down, toes up. And then we headed down into the, like, the bluffs around, in the hills off of the beach, Ocean Beach, or near Ocean Beach in San Francisco. And luckily, because of the podcast, like, right after, like, because I noticed the person guiding us was doing a lot of whistling, and also Summer and Cricket, like, Cricket would go slow, too, who's in front of me, who looked like Cricket, she had beautiful, what do you call it? Fur? What does a horse have? Manes? I don't know. They do have a word for it that I, of course, forgot. Is it a coat? A beautiful black coat Cricket did have. But so then I said, all right, Summer, like, let's just start bonding now, because I'm good with the bonding part. But it was hard getting a good place where I felt like I could pet her without, you know, and remain in the saddle. And we did have to go downhill for a while. And I said, Summer, please, like, keep your feet. And then Summer, all the other horses stayed to the side of the hill. Summer decided that we were going to be, like, extreme hiking. And Summer would go right at the edge of the trail. And even the people with us, they said, we were waiting for that horse to just, And I said, yeah, Summer, like, what are you doing? Can you stay to the right side of the trail, please? Yeah, but then I literally started a podcast episode. So for about the first half of the hike or the whatever horse ride, I was singing, which I can't do on this podcast. But first I started going through songs about Summer that I don't know. So I sang Summer Wind, Summertime, the song, then Summertime, the Will Smith song. I think that was the end of the summer. So I didn't sing Summertime Blues, but I should have. Then I sang Sunshine of My Love, but I replaced all lyrics with stuff about summer. And Summer would do, Summer also, there was a lot of dust. So I think that's why Summer was neighing. It wasn't for my sing. But then I said, do you want me to just talk to you? Like, and once we were back on like land and we were going uphill, it was way easier to pat. I was trying to pat Summer's neck. You know, once I get into pleasing mode, so then after that, I started communicating with Summer. After he started, I said, so Summer, what do you think about this trail? Is this how many times, because this was Summer's last trip, because that's why I said Summer was hungry, because I said, Summer, what do you like to do? And Summer didn't answer, so I said, really? Like, you like to long walks on the beach? Well, fancy that. What are we doing right now? And they said, Summer, what was your favorite part about, nothing. That was your favorite part. They said, really, you know what I like, Summer, when you get right up by the edge and then you don't do that. That's my favorite. Do you like it when I pat you here? And they said, Summer, do you mind if I talk to you about some stuff, like I've been thinking about, And I don't know what I was talking to the horse about, but I was talking the whole time, and people were like, are you on your phone while you're horseback riding? I said, no, I'm talking to the horse. And that's not something I made up. It'd be a bunch of, like, we'd pass people, and they'd be looking at me like, who is that guy on his phone? And he said, no, I'm talking to the horse and singing to it for preservation and bonding purposes. And they said, Summer, do you have any horses you have a crush on? And she said, maybe. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, do you ever hot to trot? Or do you use that term? Or did your mother, oh, there goes Summer, so hot to trot. And she said, maybe. And I said, this sand is sure nice, huh, Summer? I said, I love what you've done with your, the thing that runs down the middle. Is that your mane? Like, what do you call this thing down the middle, the hair down the middle? And she didn't answer. And like a couple times we stopped, and then Summer would like honestly try to get a look at me. And the other, and I don't want to brag, but the other horses would be like, who is this guy? Is he the horse chatterer? And I, like, once I started talking, I was like, I'm not about to stop, Summer. Don't worry, Summer. I'll keep talking. You keep maintaining this pace, and don't do anything else. And try not to get by the edge of the trail because I don't like that. But she kept doing that anyway. And I said, so Summer, what's your favorite kind of rainbow? And then I said, that was a trick question, Summer. I know, I was just messing with you. And I said, do you prefer a foggy day or a sunny day? And I said, well, today's the perfect day. And there was fog off in the distance, but there was a sun in the sky. And I said, it was a lovely, lovely afternoon. And then, like, it was strange, like, a little rainstorm came in. And then I said, how does that feel? I said, it's nice because it's getting the dust out of your face, huh, Summer? You like that or don't you? And then she brayed. I don't know if she ever brayed or neighed. I don't know what the difference between those two things are. And then I could never get an answer. I said, do you want me to scratch? Like, do you prefer a scratching or patting motion or a petting motion? Or how about when I just dig my hand, you know, when we're going uphill, how do you feel about me just digging my hands into the saddle and squeezing? Don't worry, I'm not holding on tight. I mean, I am, but only tight to bond with you with my fingertips. you know, so that we can bond together, Summer. And he said, Summer, do you prefer, do you go barefoot in the sand or do you prefer horseshoes? And we, so we took this trail down and we went down a couple of, like, whatever they're called, switchbacks, down into the dune area and then across some dunes and in between some dunes, or hills. I don't know what you call them, south of San Francisco. And then finally we went down like a little gully or ravine and came out at the beach. And actually I could tell that kicked up Summer's mood. Like once we got near the water, Summer liked it, just like on the trail, she liked to be right up against where the water was washing in, but she would avoid it. And then I did take control of the reins because there was two different times there was logs on the beach, big ones. And I didn't know if Summer couldn't see them, but I was very concerned. I said, Summer, there's a log coming up, and she just head towards it. And I said, hey, Summer, there's a log coming up, by the way. And they said, okay. And then I did it. I tried doing the weak move, and Summer didn't move. So then I did hold out the rein. I think I did, like, squinch it up in my hands like I wasn't supposed to. But then I got Summer to go walk around the two different logs. And I was very concerned about my daughter, but the whole time she doesn't seem to get very many of my genes because she just seemed to be enjoying herself and looking back at me and laughing and saying, what are you doing, Dad? Are you singing to that? Or are you talking to the horse? They said to Summer, her name is Summer, and we're friends now. Kind of best friends, you know, but best friends for today. And they said, you know, some of this is a great ride. So then we rode down the beach and, you know, people get a kick out of like three normal people and one loon on a horse, especially when he's singing and talking. And even the guy, he would look back at me and he was like, interesting. This guy's a character. And every once in a while I'd break back into song and I'd sing to Summer. And, you know, like the sunshine, I'm trying to think what other songs I sang. Good Ship Lollipop. I really sang that to Summer, but I rewrote the lyrics. So they were like horse and Summer. I don't have the rights to any of that though. But you like, if you're on horseback, those are good songs. If your horse Summer, so it would need a two syllable name. But you know, the Good Ship, you know, name your horse. Or Sunshine Your Love, that's a Jimi Hendrix song or a Cream song? I think Jimi Hendrix, that's how bad my brain is. They said, who do you prefer, like Summer? What kind of music are you into? And she said, whatever they're playing in the freaking stable. And they said, are you a cat person or a dog person? And she said, I'm a person. And I said, really? And she said, you know, horses can't talk. This is just your imagination you're having a conversation with. And I said, Summer, you're so silly. Crack me up. And I patted her neck. I never mess with the middle hair, whatever that is. Like, is that the fringe or the mane? But because they said that seems like it would get on the, like that would get on Summer's nerves, not any of this other stuff. And I did wish I could reach, like, I didn't have the confidence to reach back and do some flank patting or flank rubbing. But, of course, you know, maybe you have to have a better relationship with the horse to be getting into that stuff. But we rode along the beach, and we turned back in and went along, you know, through some more dunes. Then we went through a little patch of, like, of brambles and woods. I think that was like supposed to be the, and I said, like, to myself, I didn't say this out loud. I said, please no trotting, like this walking pace is fine. He said, please don't let us do any trotting here. I'm not interested in any horse, like any even jogging. I said, Summer, you got that? But we went through these trees or big bushes, and I think Sophia called that the cave because it was like overhead and everything. And you'd have to lean. And one time my foot hit something because I wasn't really paying attention. I was too busy talking to Summer. He said, did you ever wish you were a kid, Summer? And she said, no. I'm like, I don't know. I said, well, how old are you? And Summer said, how old do I look? And I said, well, you look old enough to be a dream, Summer. And she said, what does that even mean? And I said, Summer, Oh, like, that's usually my answer for everything with the horse. And, like, when she would inhale, it's summer, stop it, you're so silly. And I did start to get into it, at this point. Like, towards the end, I get into everything. Like, that's my thing. I said, cool, so I did start to, because we were going up and downhill when we were in these switchbacks and stuff, so I kind of got used to motion. I did never get used to Summer liking to be at the edge. And then at the last couple of hills, Summer decided to, instead of going single file, she would try to pass all the other horses. And I said, please, Summer, and a couple of times I did get her to stop or slow down. I said, I think she also wanted to show off. It was like, okay, I got a new best friend. And I did really, so my brother doesn't live that far from where, and I did fantasize about taking Summer out on the road and showing up at my brother's apartment with the horse out front in, West Portal. Like, that would have been pretty fun, like, clomping down the street. But I don't think Summer had shoes on. Like I said, she was going barefoot or whatever you call that, a horse hoof, you know, bare hoofed. And, I don't know, petting a horse is great. Riding a horse, it also, wears you out. It's pretty tiring because it was, long, and we're going up and down those hills. And, again, I guess apparently I can't relax. And I don't think I ever relaxed my legs except when we stopped. But I did get used to the motion, and it did feel good. And then the best part, that I'll just tell you before we conclude is, this is something magical when you do, that the motion stayed with me. When I got in bed at bedtime, some of that horse riding motion was still there. So I was able to, when I got into my twilight space between wake and sleep, I was able to be in that motion. Like, that happens to me a lot when I swim in Lake Ontario, or when I haven't been snowboarding or skiing in years, but being on a chairlift also does that to me. And I'm trying to think of any other things, but where the motion stays with you at night and kind of dictates where the twilight and where your dreams begin. So I did dream of Summer. None of these are the reasons that Ko was bothered. Like, major bonding. I mean, I talked to Ko a lot too. So it was but I guess I did use a little bit more of a cutesy tone. I said, oh, Summer, oh, you are silly. And then we saw the horse that Summer had a crush on. Unfortunately, as we got back, I did announce, I said, Summer, is that the horse you were telling me about that you like? And all the horses looked at us and the people and the horses at the stables. And I said, oh boy, sorry about that, Summer. I know that was a secret, but that is a cute horse. Holy cow. I like how the patching, whatever you call that, on the coat or whatever you call it, what you've got going, the hoof, whatever this fur-like stuff is. You know, you're not as soft as a dog, Summer, but you're pretty nice. I also did try to feel her breathing and her heartbeat through her thing. I don't know if I could do that, but I did do some hand resting. I don't know what you call that. I talk about on the podcast, sometimes it's good to put your hand on the back, a small someone's back. It's not for everybody, so make sure you ask first, or you have a relationship with someone, but that seems to be a comforting gesture. I don't know if it's comforting, Summer, but it comforted me, feeling my whole palm and my fingers, on Summer's kind of a shoulder or neck, and the exchange of our body heat and the connection with the motion of the horse. I did feel like we were one, and I guess I did have fun. I'm such an intense person. If I could find a way to just start horseback riding, maybe when they get in VR, I'd be into that. I mean, I do play a game where you ride on horseback, so I've got that down. But it really was a pleasure, and it was a cool way to see, and you really see out into the ocean, and it was beautiful. So if you do visit the Bay Area, and you're in San Francisco and you're looking for kind of something unique to do, I would think about doing that. And it was nice for my daughter. She had a blast. And Like, she just seemed to, like, to take to a, like, a sealed water or whatever you want to say. And, but I'm, like, then I got to get off Summer, and then I got to talk to Summer one-on-one, eyes to eyes, and confirm while Summer drank. I said, Summer, we really had a good time together, didn't we? And Summer was able to look at me and say, well, that's the strangest man that's ever ridden upon me. And I'm going to sleep and eat. And I did ask, I said, Summer, do you sleep standing up or lying down? And she declined to answer that question. That was after I embarrassed her with all the horses and said, well, that's the horse you like right there. That's the one you're in love with, right? Oh, that doesn't know about that. But so I don't think I'm a, like, totally changed person where I'm going to, like, become a horseback rider. I prefer, well, I don't know, the saddle did end up being comfortable. It did support me, and I never felt like out of place, I mean, except in the world as a, you know, human. So that went well. So, yeah, I guess, like, I'd say, in 10 years from now, maybe I'll do another horseback ride. Unless I go see Glenn's horse, Scooter, his pony, or like a mule. I mean, I think I'm more suited to a mule. I mean, like, or maybe we're too similar. I mean, I'm definitely as stubborn as a mule. I've been called an ass. I've been said that I smell like a burro. And, like, I guess I said, I'm pony like. I've been called pony, like, pony boy. So, yeah, maybe one of those, like, would be better. But I don't know what kind of horse Summer was. So you can't, no idea. Like, a nice horse. That's what I would say. So thank you, Summer. If you're listening, Summer, it really was a pleasure riding on your back. Thanks for supporting me. Also, when we got back, then Summer stopped listening to me when all the workers were there. So everybody could see that I was not in charge of her. She started eating again and going in the wrong directions, and they had to grab her. But during the ride, she was fine. You know, once she, I think she wanted to run away with me. But Summer, I'll miss you, and maybe I'll come see you again. Hopefully I'll recognize you, but can't make any promises, you know. But, I'll say, which one's Summer? And they say, which Summer? You know, I'd say, well, the one that likes the horse with the white, with the black spots on it. They say, really, Summer likes Jericho or something. I say, yep. Oh, I thought Summer's name was Jericho originally. So just as you kick in, you know, think about that motion, that back and forth, up and down motion, almost rocking-like and gentle. Summer was so gentle behind Cricket, slowly moving forward. I never paid attention if 1 foot was moving or 2 feet were moving or how that works. But the mechanics of a horseback ride that carry you off into dreamland. Good night. Okay, I want to thank some people that reviewed the show on iTunes. Eli Sleeps from the UK. Truly helpful. I've been sick the last 3 weeks, struggling to sleep until I came across this podcast. It did the job. Unbelievably reassuring and helpful. Thank you, Eli Sleeps. Annika's Motherly Neighborhood. I like that one, too. Worth a try. The only thing that puts me asleep fast. Thank you. Vitamina Sue does not like the podcast. I found it annoying. Everybody said that happened, so. Why No 3421 actually works. I love it. 5 stars. Downloaded 1 episode thinking it was slightly absurd. That was your mistake, slightly absurd. And I'm completely obsessed and shared this with many people. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, it's slightly obscenely absurd. Emma Lynn wrote, so grateful this podcast has been battling anxiety and insomnia for most of my life. Haven't found anything that helps me sleep as much as this. Somehow manages to replicate the kind of thought patterns your brain makes right between being awake and asleep and jumping around from thought to thought. Tangently related thoughts. This sort of tricks your brain into falling asleep. I find it overwhelmingly heartwarming. They put so much time and energy and hard work into creating these stories for an audience who, in ideal circumstances, will never hear them. It strikes me as a strange mix of altruism and a pursuit of art for art's sake, and it makes me feel like there's good in the world. Oh, thank you. That's very, very kind of you. Mr. Mona puts me to sleep. I love this podcast. Puts me to sleep every time I use it. I'm going out cold within 20 minutes. Give it a try. Seamus Sheamus is a girl's name. Wish I'd found this sooner. They're from the UK. This is something I wish I knew about a long time ago. It's easy to get immersed in Scourger's voice and stories. I don't think I made it through a full episode yet because it generally does relax me. This is your new favorite audio duvet. Are we drifting yet? Stab at Netflix. I don't know. That one I might be missing some. Wow. Can usually only sleep in silence. This podcast blew my mind. I was out like late in 15 minutes. Can't tell you what any stories are about because they put me right to sleep. Totally recommend this. Yeah, life-changing. This is from Aaron, 1024. Life-changing. Always had a hard time falling asleep. It used to take me 2 hours when I heard about Sleep With Me on MFM. Thanks, Karen and George. I kept writing it off because nothing else helped me fall asleep. I had nothing else to lose. Holy cow, I was asleep within minutes. Been faithfully listening to Sleep With Me for 3 months now. Podcast has changed my life. Thank you. More Sleep With TNG, please. Scoots is from Queer Mountaineer from the USA. I love this podcast. It's super skeptical. I don't know. By the time you hear this, it may have started already. Back up. Helps me step off the hamster wheel and hang out with a nice, interesting, charming storyteller. Doesn't mind if I conk out, which I always do. My favorite is Sleep With TNG. I hope it makes more of them, which we will. All right, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show at Apple Podcasts, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and... that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. This is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.